Only God's grace and God's mercy explains how you and I are sitting here this morning, experiencing his grace and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our stubborn hearts would have refused it. And any growth that we have in holiness and victory over sin is because of his strength and his power. There should be no hint of self-congratulation in the Christian life.
Welcome back to Mid-America Reform Seminary's Roundtable Podcast, a broadcast where the faculty of Mid-America discuss everything from Reform theology, cultural issues, all things seminary, and where occasionally you'll hear an edifying message or two. This is episode 61, and I'm your host, Jared Luchibor. Thank you for tuning in. Continuing today in our series of chapel messages from the faculty, adjunct professor and Orthodox Presbyterian Church pastor Reverend Danny Patterson from Second Parish OPC in Portland, Maine, will speak on Psalm 124 and how it speaks against self-congratulating ourselves in the context of our salvation. Take a listen.
Why don't we turn to Psalm 124 this morning? I'll read it and then we'll just pray for a moment, and then look at this passage together for a few minutes. Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Father, thank you for this psalm of wonder and grace, psalm of mercy, a psalm extolling your saving grace to us in Christ and your rescue of us. Help us to see that this morning, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that you will find that is absent from this psalm, and all psalms for that matter, but particularly this one, is any hint of self-congratulation. Any hint of self-glorification. And that's not a small thing, considering that David, who slayed his 10,000s, was the one who wrote this psalm. King David, mighty King David, who killed Goliath and the bear and the lion. These psalms, you know, or this psalm is part of the Psalms of Ascents. They were psalms that Israelites were thought to have sung on the road on their way to Jerusalem. But they're songs of the church as well, as the church is on its way to the heavenly Jerusalem. The songs that it sings are never self-congratulatory, but they magnify and they extol the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what this psalm ultimately is all about, reminding us that our spiritual rescue, our spiritual safety, the entirety of our spiritual life, actually, is dependent upon the grace and power of God. And you see that in just a few ways here, and we can't obviously dive too deep, but we see it first as the psalm, as the psalmist reminds us, as David reminds us, that the Lord is our deliverer, that he's our rescuer. We don't know which situation David is talking about here. He could have been thinking actually about a lot of different situations, but whatever the situation is, this is what he says. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, sort of like, join with me, Israel, in saying this, in singing this. If it had not been for the Lord who was on our side. So what David wants to do is he wants to amplify our thankfulness and our gratefulness to God so that when the church looks back on its victories, or when you as a member of the church looks back on your life, particularly the grace of God shown to you and me in the Lord Jesus Christ, you look back and say, if it were not for the Lord who was on our side. And you can even say that not just about your salvation, but your sanctification as well. As you look at the victories that perhaps you have experienced over sin and temptation, as you look at your growth in holiness, as you look back and say, the Lord rescued my soul from the work of Christ, and he continues to grow me in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has rescued my marriage, or he has kept me from turning to unbelief. If it was not for the Lord, who was on our side, for his grace and his mercy, both in justification and in sanctification. This is the cry of our hearts. It would have been easy for Israel to say, well, if David wasn't on our side. And David says, no, not me, him. Not my strength and my power, not my rescuing strength and power, but God's rescuing strength and power. Because only God's grace and God's mercy explains how you and I are sitting here this morning, experiencing his grace and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our stubborn hearts would have refused it. And any growth that we have in holiness and victory over sin is because of his strength and his power. There should be no hint of self-congratulation in the Christian life. No hint of self-glorification in the lives of those particularly that seek to minister the grace of God in Christ to God's people. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he has made known. That is our response to our salvation. That is our response to our sanctification. That is what we are to preach to our hearts every day of our lives. And so we see that as David magnifies God's rescue. But secondly, we also see David highlighting God's grace and mercy to us by reminding us of the danger that we were in, the seriousness of that danger. Look at the pictures here. The enemies of the church, or the enemies of Israel, are described as swallowing up God's people alive. That's a picture of something being swallowed whole. Something larger, swallowing something smaller whole, and it is alive as it is swallowed. And then, of course, experiences a slow death. And then there's this picture of flood, of a flood sweeping them away, and the torrent going over them, overtaking them, and raging waters. If you've ever experienced, particularly if you've lived in the South, what a flash flood looks like. One moment you're on your feet, and the next you've been swept off, and you're in big trouble. And that's what he talks about in 4 and 5. And then in 6, he switches to another picture. The Lord has not given us as prey to their teeth. This is a picture of something not being swallowed up whole, but something being ripped to shreds. And then he describes the escape as like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. We hunt with guns today. They hunted with nets. But all of these things, you'll notice, end with the death of the thing that is caught or overtaken. And all of these things are pictures of utter and complete helplessness. No hope. No escape. No ability. Death. Certain death. And that is where the power of sin ends in. And that is what we are like outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the end of us, death outside of Christ, eternal death. And this is the hopelessness of all those who haven't been rescued by Christ. Let me put a plug in for the preaching of sin. Maybe I don't need to do that in a Reformed seminary, but we do. Because it is not until we magnify the danger that we are in outside of Christ, who has saved us, that the grace that is greater than all our sins can properly be magnified. Anything less than the full preaching of our complete inability to come to Christ on our own and the danger we are in outside of Christ, anything less will lessen grace. It will cheapen grace. And so our hope is not in our craftiness or our resources or even ultimately in the plans that we set in place to avoid sin, although those things are good. Our hope is that God has claimed us. That even when we are powerless, He is powerful to rescue us. That He is the Lord, the covenant God who has bound Himself to us in covenant love. That's why David says right in the middle there, "Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth." And so no hint of self-glorification and self-congratulation in this psalm. It's an echo of "not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name be glory and honor." And that's why third, David reminds us our spiritual safety, our spiritual rescue, is completely dependent upon the Lord's grace and mercy. by declaring the greatness of God. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Look at verse 8 then. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Why do the Psalms say things like this all the time? Because we need to hear it. That the one who rescues us is the one who has made, by the word of his power, heaven and earth. It's because you and I, at some level, don't really believe many times that God can actually do what he says he can do. And David wants to remind us, no, really, he can. No, really, he saves. No, really, he rescues. He created everything, after all. He's the maker of all that is. By the way, that wasn't hard for him. So though it is a miraculous thing that he saves us, it's not a hard thing that he does. It's not difficult for him. Now, one time, this was our state. We were about to be swept away and swallowed up. We were like animals being ripped to shreds. Birds caught in nets. Interestingly enough, many of these pictures that are mentioned here, the New Testament uses as pictures of the danger of Satan and his temptations and the dynamics of sin in our lives, which we don't have time to talk about. But because of our sin, we were under the tyranny of Satan. And the power of God to rescue and save is in the forefront of Paul's mind when we come to a place like Romans chapter 8, and he says, if God is for us, who can be against us? This Lord who made heaven and earth. Yes, there are battles, and yes, we lose them sometimes, and sometimes often, against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And life is hard because if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you know that anything that can happen to anybody can happen to a Christian as far as suffering is concerned. But that ultimately none of that will defeat the believer who is in Christ Jesus. And so Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? But he tells us how that is even possible in Romans 8 when he says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. You see, when Christ was put to death on the cross, it's not an over-exaggeration to say things like he was swept away, shredded to pieces, swallowed whole by the judgment of God who did not spare his only son. And why did he suffer like that? Well, for us. Paul, of course, then goes on in Romans chapter 8 to give us future assurance when he says, how will he not give us all things? Or to put it another way, God's not going to save us only to abandon us. When you and I receive Christ, we get all of Him. We don't just get a piece of Him at justification and a piece of Him at sanctification. We get all of Christ, all the resources, all the benefits of His redemption for us on the cross. And so how will He not give us all things? And that is our present confidence. If God is for us, this maker of heaven and earth in the Lord Jesus Christ, who really can be against us? And that is what you and I need to know in this life as we navigate the craziness and the messiness of it. As we push on through struggle and temptation. I remember a couple of years ago, we'll close with this, a couple of years ago, one of the pastors at a General Assembly said, do you believe that the life you... He challenged us to think about this question. Do you believe that the life you have now is the life you would choose if you knew what God knew? If you had the wisdom of God? And the answer, by the way, is yes. You would choose the life you have right now in all of its pain, in all of its sorrow, in all of its struggle. You wouldn't have it any other way. And it's that victory that we have in Christ that gives us confidence now. And so no self-congratulation. To God alone be the glory in salvation and sanctification. Magnify the grace of God by not downplaying the sin and the wages of sin in our lives or in our preaching. And then preach to your souls great thoughts about God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in within me, bless His holy name. Soul, forget not all His benefits, as He forgives your sins and heals your diseases and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies and satisfies your mouth with good things. Preach to your souls the greatness of God and the Lord Jesus Christ.
An edifying message from Reverend Danny Patterson on the grace and goodness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Next week, we'll hear a familiar account from Mark 1, brought to us by instructor of ministerial studies, Dr. Eric Watkins, who will be speaking on Jesus cleansing a leper. Stay tuned for that. For more podcast episodes, you can find us on our website at midamerica.edu, on YouTube, and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Be sure to search for and subscribe to Mid-America Reformed Seminary's Roundtable. I'm Jared Luchabor. Till next time.